Good morning to everyone. I want to thank Steve and everyone for giving me the opportunity to preach this morning. I do appreciate and I thank the Lord that I'm able to do this. Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Doug spent a little time in Acts 20 this morning in Sunday school class, and we're going to be there as well. And I want you to look at Acts 20, and I want us to read together from verse 6 to verse 12. Follow me with me, if you would. Acts 20, verse 6, it says, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And after the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber, where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. As Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, he broke bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day. So he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and we're not a little comforted." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that as we come to your word this morning, that we would come to the understanding of your word that you would have us to have. We'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Christ's name, amen. Now, I've read this passage of Scripture many times in the past, and I've heard preachers make jokes about people falling asleep in church and those, that kind of thing from the passage. But, you know, as I read it, I'm thinking to myself, why would the Holy Spirit of God direct Luke to write this down and record it in the book of Acts? And, of course, we know that Luke, the physician, is the one who actually recorded these events in the book of Acts. So why did the Holy Spirit of God direct Luke to put this in the book of Acts? Why did he direct him to put this particular story in here? I know that there is nothing in Scripture that's just there to fill up the page. It's not just a story to be told to fill in. Everything in the Bible has a meaning to it. It has some significance to it. And so, as I thought about this event here in Acts 20, I thought to myself, why would God have this put in Acts chapter 20? And as I thought about it, prayed about it, I realized that what the Lord was doing here by putting this event with Eutychus falling out of the window and then Paul bringing him back to life, that is a picture of something. It pictures something. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. What is this story in Acts 20 a picture of? First of all, back to verse 7 of this chapter. In verse 7 it says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them." And it says, "ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." What's significant here to me is that it's Paul that's preaching, and that he preached until midnight. Now, look at verse 8 and 9. "And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead." What I want you to notice is that it says in verse 8, there were many lights. And that Eutychus fell into a deep sleep. And he fell from the third loft. And I think these words are very significant to what Paul is trying to teach us here, what God is trying to teach us here. Look at verse 10, 11, and 12. Verse 10, "And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even until break of day, so he departed, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted." Verses 10 and 11, "The young man died when he fell, but through the power of God, Paul brought Eutychus back to life." And just so you know, the name Eutychus in the Greek means fortunate. And of course, he was very fortunate, wasn't he? But it means fortunate. The name Eutychus means fortune. So now, with that in your mind, with these verses in your mind, let's look at each one of these passages, each one of these verses. Let's see what the picture is that I believe is being portrayed here. Verse 7, "Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them." What would Paul preach? If Paul's preaching, what would he preach? Let's talk about that. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, first of all. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So Paul says this, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now, I've got a lot of verses this morning. I'm going to go really fast because we don't have a lot of time. And you know how I am. I'm going to throw a lot of verses at you really fast, and I hope you can keep up. So, what Paul preached is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is that gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." This is the gospel that saves a soul today. He says, "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That is the gospel that Paul preached. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, Paul writes this, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross," that's what Paul preached, he preached the cross, "for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." It is the power of God to save. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel of the grace of God, as Paul calls it. It's the preaching of the cross for salvation. That and that alone. But stay in 1 Corinthians and look at chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, he says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. You see, the fact that the death, the burial, resurrection of Christ, Christ shedding His blood on the cross for our sins, what it would accomplish for the church, the body of Christ, was once a mystery. It was the hidden wisdom of God that is now revealed. And it's been revealed to us through the Spirit, through the Word of God. It was a mystery. And it was first revealed to the Apostle Paul. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1, he writes in verse 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." It wasn't a gospel that was invented by man. It's not a man-made religion. It's not after man. And in verse 12 he says, "For I neither received it of man." I neither received it of man, he says. "Neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." He says, not only is it come from man, it wasn't invented by man, I didn't learn it from another man. Didn't learn it from another man. Wasn't taught it by another man. Wasn't taught it by Peter, James, and John. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. When Christ revealed Himself to Paul in Acts 9. Let's continue in Galatians 1 again. He says, verse 12, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Verse 15, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." So he's making the point again that what he's preaching did not come from flesh and blood. It did not come from another man. In fact, he makes the point that he did not get it from the other apostles. Verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. So he goes out of the way to make that point. He did not get it from another man. It wasn't invented by man. He did not get it from another apostle. It came directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what Paul preached. That's what Paul preached. Go back to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, again, it says, in Acts 20, it says, verse 7, "Paul preached unto them, and he was ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Now, the fact that he continues his speech until midnight, to me, is significant. And let me show you why. I think that's significant. Sometimes midnight in Scriptures is associated with the wrath and the judgment of God and the return of Christ to this earth. Let me show you. A look at Galatians chapter 11 to start. Exodus chapter 11. There is no Galatians 11. I hope you didn't try to turn there. Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11. This is when God, Jehovah God, starting to pour out the judgments on Egypt and Pharaoh. because they would not let the Hebrew people go. And it says in verse 4, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight till I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And they died at midnight. God's judgment was poured out on Israel at midnight. Look at Job chapter 34. Job chapter 34. Job chapter 34. Job talking about God's wrath and God's judgment upon the wicked. He says in verse 18 of chapter 34, is it fit to say to a king, thou art wicked, and to princes, ye are ungodly? How much less to him that is accepteth not the persons of princes, nor regardeth the rich more than the poor? For they are all the works of his hands. In a moment they shall die, and the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away, and the mighty shall be taken away without hand. God's judgment. God's judgment. Look at Matthew 25. The passage in Matthew 25 talks about the parable of the virgins and the return of Christ. We know from prophecy that the return of Christ to earth is when God returns in His wrath and in His judgment. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. The return of Christ to earth in judgment and wrath. That will begin the millennial reign of Christ's kingdom here on earth in the nation Israel. God's judgment and wrath is sometimes associated with midnight. With midnight. Go back to when the dispensation of grace comes to an end, God's wrath will be poured out and the prophetic program will begin again. It will continue on where it left off. The wrath of God will be poured out. Acts chapter 20 again. Might as well keep your hand there. Acts 20. Paul said in Acts 20, verse 7, he said, he preached unto them. He says he's ready to depart on the morrow and continued his speech until night. Paul was always ready to depart. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul says in Philippians 1, 21, says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul was always ready to depart. And you know, that should be our attitude. We should have our affections set on things above, ready to depart. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians 4:13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." We're waiting to meet the Lord in the air. We're not looking for the second coming of Christ and wrath and judgment. We're looking for the rapture of the church. We're looking to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And we should have our affections set on those things. Acts chapter 20 again. Acts 20, verses 8 and 9. "And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together." There were many lights. And it says in verse 9, "And there sat in a window a certain man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with deep sleep and fell from the third loft and was taken up dead." There were many lights in that place. Many lights. You know what many lights do? Many lights cause things to be illuminated, right? They reveal things. If you have many lights, more is revealed. The more light you have, the more is revealed. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul writes this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul had an abundance of revelation. And an abundance of revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelations that were never known until Christ personally revealed them to Paul in Acts 9. He had an abundance of revelation. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We were just there. If we have all this light given to us, we should never fall asleep. Eutychus is in a room full of lights, and he's sitting in a window. The third loft, it says. That's really high up, by the way. You know, a loft means upper chamber. And if he's in the third loft, he's high up, isn't he? He's way up. And you know that the word loft, you know what the word loft means? It means upper chamber, but its root is associated with the sky. I looked that up in the dictionary. It's associated with the sky, the third law. But again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. "But the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh in the thief as a thief in the night," referring to the return of Christ and judgment and wrath. Verse 3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, but that they should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. Let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." we're not of the night. We have all the revelation, all the light that God wants us to have. And we should not be children of the night. We should be children of the day. Go back to 2 Corinthians again, if you would. 2 Corinthians 12 again. 2 Corinthians 12. When we read in Acts 20 about this young man Eutychus falling asleep, he falls asleep from the third law. Now I think that's significant, that it's the third law. It's not the first, the second, it's the third law. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, without the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. The third heaven. What is the third heaven? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. The third heaven is where the Lord Jesus Christ is. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Ephesians 1, 20. Speaking of Christ, speaking of God, he says in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The third heaven is where the Lord Jesus Christ is. In heavenly places, seated in heavenly places. And guess who's there too? We are. If we're saved, we are in the third heaven with Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's Eutychus, sitting in the third law. There are many lights, but what happens to Eutychus? He's in the third law. He's in his position. He's God-given position. But he falls asleep. He falls asleep. When the church as a whole stopped preaching what Paul wrote, and that is the condition of the church today. The church as a whole has fallen asleep. It has stopped preaching what Paul preached. It stopped preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in purity and clarity. It stopped preaching, Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died for us, He commanded Paul to preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, didn't he? The church is asleep. Look at Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25. Paul writes this. Now to him that has power to establish you, to stabilize you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now was made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. You know how you're stabilized? By the preaching of gospel that Paul preached, and preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. But, you know, the Spirit of God revealed to Paul that after his departure, something would happen to the church. It would fall asleep. The church would fall asleep. Look at Acts again. Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, look at verse 28. Verse that Doug quoted this morning in Sunday school. Take heed therefore unto yourselves to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. God's own blood shed for us. Verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you, every one night and day with tears. Paul knew it was coming, but it broke his heart. He knew it was coming, but it broke his heart. It broke his heart. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit revealed some things to Paul, and he wrote it down. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times of the dispensation of the grace of God, in the latter times, these are people in the church. And he says about the people in the church, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know what a seducing spirit is? You know what it is to seduce? That's when you're trying to make somebody do something by appealing to their flesh. You're trying to manipulate somebody to a certain kind of behavior through the eyes and the ears and the five senses. That's what the seducing spirits do. They draw you away from the truth through your five senses, through what you see and what you hear, what you feel. It draws you away from that. And he says, they'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them that believe and know the truth. People that believe and know the truth won't fall for legalism. They won't put themselves back under the law. And that's what he's talking about there. Forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats. That's the law. People would try to teach them, and just like you see today, people are being put back under the law. You see it on TV, hear it on the radio, it's in the books. It's legalism. Legalism. It gets away from the message of grace. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Legalism and man-made religion is what has permeated the church today, and for that reason the church has fallen asleep. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, that seducing spirits, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, storytelling. Let me tell you a story to convince you that this is right. Fables. You hear it all the time. Just turn on the TV. The only solution to the problem is to preach the Word and to preach it rightly divided. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. verse 14, he says, of these things, speaking about things that were wrong in the church, he says in verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. They strive not about words, no profit, but to the subverting of the hearer. When you don't rightly divide the word, that's what you end up doing. You end up striving about words to no profit when you don't rightly divide. Because what you end up doing is you end up saying, well, that verse doesn't really mean what it says. It means something else. And so you strive about words to no profit. But you say, but it says, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's how you understand what you're reading. You rightly divide the word of truth. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. The solution to the problem of the church being asleep is to preach the word and preach it rightly divided. I got a few minutes left. Let's go back to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. We read here in Acts 20, verse 10, it says that when Paul went down and fell on him, fell on Eutychus, after he'd fallen from his position, God-given position, he fell from the third law. He died. It says in verse 10, and Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. Eutychus' life went out of him when he fell from his third loft. When the church falls from its God-given position, is moved away from its position, it lost its true spiritual life. The life has gone out. When the church started mixing law with grace, the true spiritual life went out of the church. When the church started claiming Israel's promises, confusing them with the promises made to the church, the body of Christ, the church fell asleep. When the church tries to claim promises God didn't make to the church, the body of Christ, tries to take on a different identity, the church fell asleep. When the church put feelings and experiences above the clear teaching of Scripture, the church fell asleep. And its spiritual life went out of it. When the church started to mix a prophetic program with the dispensation of grace, the church fell asleep. But there's good news. There's good news. We see here in Acts 20, verses 10 through 12, that through the power and authority given by Paul, by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he embraced Eutychus and his life went back into him. When the church allows what Paul writes in these 13 letters to the church, when they allow it to embrace them again, the life will come back into the church. Even though the church as a whole may not. Doesn't mean we have to be asleep, does it? Do we have to be asleep? No, we don't have to be asleep with the church. We can wake up. We can wake up. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm just going to spend a few more minutes and I'm going to rush through these verses real quick. Because it's almost 12 and I know I'm supposed to get you out of here at 12. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 13 says this. Paul writes this.
But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light.
Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. When you want to awake out of your spiritual sleep, Christ will give you light. You know how he does it? Through 13 letters in your Bible. That's Christ speaking. 1 Corinthians 14:37, you don't have to turn there. Paul says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Awake thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7 says, Paul says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You want the Lord to give you understanding in all things? What are you going to do according to the Word of God? Consider what I say, Paul says. Consider what I say. And the Lord will give you understanding in all things. Do you understand the gospel? Do you understand the gospel? Do you believe the gospel? Christ died for your sins and was buried in those men for a day. You just trust what he did for you. He'll save you. Do you understand the will of God for today? You can. Just like you can understand and believe the gospel, you can understand and believe what the will of God is for today. It's right here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And who's the one that's going to testify that in due time? Verse 7. Whereunto I, Paul says, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, and I speak the truth in Christ. I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. He's the due time testifier. Awake thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. The man Eutychus, he falls to his death. Paul embraces him and comes back to life. The church needs to come back to life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this again for this privilege to teach, preach your word. We pray, Lord, that we be encouraged this morning, edified, and we would be challenged again to go to your word and to look at these things. And study them out for ourselves and reach the conclusion you'd have us to reach. Help us to be better servants for you, better soldiers for you. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.